Greetings, adventurers, and welcome to another episode of Geekly Inc.'s Random Encounters, Curse of Norhal Edition. I am your Game Master, Joshua Scalf, and with me today is Howard Tarpley.
Hey, have you ever seen anybody chewing on their headphones at the gym on a little cable? It's weird, isn't it?
It's gross because it's all sweaty and...
Well, why would you chew it?
Hey, I go to the gym sometimes.
Jennifer Cheek.
I have not been to the gym in a solid 6 months.
Sam Lanning.
The only gym I go to is, thank you for being here, thanks for having me, is Pokemon Gym.
Matthew Morris.
Corpse Lover Gary says, absolutely digging the side feed. Hey folks, just here to tell you that Random Encounters is top tier, S-class spin-off feed from Drunks and Dragons main show. It's now called Greetings Adventurers.
Hey!
You find people bring the energy every single episode of Norhal, whether you are shopping for outfits, killing sharks and pirates, having a tailor make your new outfits when you get back, picking up your outfits, oh my god, this is longer than I thought it was, for your big dance, choosing your outfits for a beach day, or selecting an outfit from the rack on your for your bank heist. Also, the other shows on here are really fun, including Sailor Moon, The Cat Heist, The Dark Blades, and of course, the amazing introduction to Brute Force. Keep at it, and thanks for supporting the Patreon that is making this possible. 5 stars.
Yeah, we don't mention the other shows on Random Encounters, but...
Yeah, they should mention themselves, and they should post more often.
Yeah.
That's their fault.
They should come watch us.
Just to clarify for me in my memory, because it's been so long, but are all our old, like, Shadowrun and, like, Gamma World shit on there?
I believe so.
Yes. You should go listen to those artifacts of time.
We've had a lot of, like, problems with Spotify just deleting random stuff.
Oh, good.
So
they're exclusives. Like, you can find them.
Well, I think on iTunes it's all there.
It's like when you get a Beanie Baby that's, like, fucked up, that's what those
It's like a fucked up Beanie Baby, yeah.
What I love about that name, though, for that review, is that you know they tried Corpse Fucker Gary.
I got that. Damn it, I should have made my Wizarding World of Harry Potter 420 Corpse Fucker Gary, see if I would
have bet it would not allow you to put the word fuck in there.
Yeah, the word fuck.
My name on Harry Potter is fuck.
Let me check.
He would have just done it Corpse FKR Gary.
Yeah, you can get around that.
Damn it, I need to do that. I'm an idiot. I tried, like, radish and turnip.
All right, let's do a recap before we get into this madness.
Can I do it?
For an experience point, who wants to do it?
Me.
Tim?
Daddy.
Tim is, he's so horny for it.
Last time on Curse of Norhal, we were in-house. Ember show up. She is in-house.
Just a quick clarification point, because I think that I did not talk about this last episode. Ember's non-binary.
Yeah, you
Ember... uses they pronouns.
Yeah, you corrected us when we forgot. Thank you.
So just a reminder for the listeners at home, and might fuck up, but...
Yeah.
Hey, I might fuck up. Who knows?
Yeah, but. I mean, for Waterdeep, Barb was a robot, so we used they, but then we were like, you know, it's probably
Barb is into both.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Ember's non-binary, and we showed up to the house of Ismark, the new mayor, and... his sister, Irina. Turns out their father died a couple days ago. The former Burgermeister, who pissed off the Curse of Strahd by...
He pissed off the Curse of Strahd? Mm-hmm. That's his name?
He received the Curse of Strahd.
Well, let me introduce you to my best friend, the vampire, whose name is the Curse of Strahd.
that's the Waterdeep dragon heist, and it's implied that Strahd was necking physically upon Irina, based on her wounds, her bite wounds, and yeah, we basically got a little more background information on Strahd's obsession with Irina, and apparently the repercussions of their father standing up to Strahd, wherein Strahd sent some demon wolves or whatever out to fuck up their house. Does someone have thunder?
Yeah,
I have thunder.
That was
damn,
so loud. Holy
that
shit.
Was so spooky.
Damn, we really are inside of a haunted ass house.
It is ghost.
Did you mention the ghost procession?
I did not mention the ghost procession. Ember summoned the former Burgermeister, which scared all of us, and found out that basically the Burgermeister just stood up to Strahd and was able to somehow, and it almost seemed, I read this as, please don't correct me, I read this as he was almost confused by how he was able to break the spell of Strahd and stand up against him. But, you know, whatever. That led to his death. His heart gave out. Then in the night, both Duke Silver and Ember did the watch after we fell asleep, and Ember saw this ghostly procession, which Irina later clarified was the former adventurer. Correct me if I was wrong.
Yeah, that was what was implied.
Yeah, the former adventurers who entered into Barovia, and is that what we're calling it?
Yes.
Barovia is the town? Or
it
the
is both
area.
The town, this particular town, and also the region.
Is that is that as published?
That as
yes.
Barovia, like New York,
that,
New York.
I did not do that on purpose. I am so happy. I think I thought about that this morning. I couldn't sleep. I was like, wait a second, is Barovia? No,
Barovia is the town you are currently in, and it is also the region that you are in.
God damn it! That is so good to me.
Okay, and I think we ended it with Connie was questioning why the fuck there was a dead corpse in the house, and you all offered to go help bury their father Kolyan.
Yeah, so we're, our quest is to go bury body.
Yep,
I have a quest.
And Tim, you get a good old experience for that.
I'm at 6? No, because I failed. No, because you didn't give me experience. It was the cry.
Yeah, it was just crying. It was for the goof. But, okay. So, I think we can go ahead and start in media res in this moment. And you guys are walking down the town streets with the coffin. Think that sounds fair?
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Do we want to do another giveaway for the Twitch?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Other people mentioned other things that they wanted to give
I'll
away.
I'll pay them in.
I'll do my, Final Fantasy 14 time card.
Time card. That's a great one. Final Fantasy 14, a lot of the community is playing right now, and it's a very fun game. So I'm going to open the giveaway. This is for the Final Fantasy 14. How long is it? A month?
2 months.
2 months. Damn, I'm going to win this. Time card. It's a fun game. There's a Geekly Guild on Marlboro. Ask.
There's also one. Well, there's not one on Behemoth anymore, I think.
Yeah, Josh is on Behemoth.
I mean, I think there is one on Behemoth still, but I think I may be the only one on Behemoth still.
I'm back on Zalera.
Yeah. That's a good point. Actually, Howard, I mean, it's your gift. You're allowed to give him the information. So please, Josh, go ahead and I will open up the thingy.
Okay.
And while you're at it, also donate to the Trevor Project.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, let's go ahead and post that link again in chat.
I'm going to tweet it right now.
Yeah, also, yeah, let's go ahead and tweet it. But yeah, you can donate to geeklyinc.com/Trevor. And we're continuing from the 24-hour live stream that we did to raise money for the Trevor Project, because it is a fantastic charity to raise awareness for LGBTQIA+ people in that community who need just awareness and assistance with certain matters. It's a fantastic charity. Absolutely go donate to it.
Oh, okay. I got on Twitter, and the first thing I seen is a sexy Simba's dad from Lion King.
He's a very sexy lion.
And I think Tim was tagged in it.
That lion's got a big ass.
He does. I got one with Broly in it, too.
He's extremely yoked.
Yeah. So the current giveaway is for 60 days.
I think that's why I got off Twitter. I kept seeing that every time I logged in, stuff like that.
I can't handle this.
I don't need to open this up at work.
Me to my therapist. My therapist to me. Sexy Mufasa is not real. Twitter.
All right. Let's go.
Can one of you type in to say what this giveaway is for? I can't reach my keyboard very well.
I'll do it.
Someone type that in and I'll describe what's going on. So you are walking down the town streets. You've agreed to help Ismark take their father's makeshift coffin to the cemetery that is located at the northwest corner of the town, and so he can finally be put to rest and not be in their side room just kind of stinking up the place.
Is his fat ass, does the coffin have a top for it, or is he too corpulent?
They made it big enough to I guess cover his corpulence and just make sure that he wasn't just like bulging out of this. It's a very ramshackle makeshift coffin.
You said it was made from doors, so
like doors and like other furniture. Like it is very scrapped together. It's suitable enough.
I love to think there's a door on top and you just kind of like knock and open it and there's this body.
I also like to imagine that his ass is so fat that the clap of his ass cheeks kept alerting Strahd to his location.
Everyone knew we were walking down the street with.
Exactly.
Damn, Kolyan is dummy thick.
He is!
That's why they're so mad at Irina is Marcus, because their dad's gone and they're going to miss that dummy thick
they
ass.
Want
that's
it! Canon now. They crave that dummy thick
Maybe
ass.
That's why they didn't want to carry him through the streets, because everybody's like, oh my god, look at that ass.
Just him walking down the street gave them some sort of hope in life.
So everybody is kind of just supporting this coffin, taking it down the street. I'm going, based on one thing that Connie said last time, I'm going to roll with that joke. You do see a bandit trying to help, but bandit's just hanging off like this.
Oh yeah, there are six of us. We should always
He's a good boy.
I also could theoretically cast Unseen Servant to assist, but maybe I don't need to do that.
You could.
I feel like
Ember would cast that so that the Unseen Servant would carry what they didn't have to.
That's exactly. I think that's exactly what would happen is that Ember's I'm carrying it, but
rolled up.
I'm gonna do it. Okay.
2d6 plus your intelligence modifier.
Got it. Oh, I don't. That's Tim's dice. I don't want to roll with that. Ugh. I looked at this. I was like, I got a 9 on that one. No, you didn't, dummy. D6. that's an 8. 9. Sorry.
9, and yes. That's plus your intelligence mod, too?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, you were able to cast it. It's a partial success, so do you want to draw unwelcome attention, it disturbs the fabric of reality, or after it is cast, you forget it until the next time you prepare? Now remember, forgetting it just means next time you spend an hour meditating over it.
Let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you... As an illustration, again, for those at home, you extend your hand with your full finger ring.
Yeah.
And the blue arcane magic kind of swirls.
Yep.
And though you know how Unseen Servant works, it's supposed to be unseen.
Right.
Uh-oh.
You just, again, just like when you contacted the spirit, you conjure a skeletal servant. And there is a skeleton just kind of there, like all kind of rickety bones, and you're still able to command it. It's obeying your commands, but there is a skeleton.
But the rest of us are carrying a fucking coffin when that skeleton just pops up. Josh, I'm going to roll these 2d6. If I get a 6 or lower, I'm shouting and backing away. I got a 6, so I do a quiet eep, and then I jump away.
He's just crying again.
I got a 6, which is the highest of the or lower, so I stop holding the coffin, and I go,
I still think between Ismark, Roxar, Duke, and the skeleton, and Connie, I still think there's enough holding the coffin to while you go ass over tea kettle backwards.
Yeah.
The coffin doesn't fall, but the rest of you are holding a much heavier load.
To be fair, was Mort even trying? Was he just he had his hands underneath it, just like pressed against it, but he wasn't using it.
Hey,
he was like,
I'm right, it's so heavy. I think so. And as we talked about several sessions ago, I don't entirely know. I don't have a handle on Mort, to be honest. But
you're still exploring.
I'm still exploring
The Mortiverse.
The Mortiverse. I think I was trying in this case.
Okay, so I will say, and I don't want to code him this way, so you could tell me no if you don't want it to be this, but based how he tried to flirt with Irina, and just kind of how he tries to be suave while also being a little sleazy in this, the picture I saw in my head was as he's trying to lift, he's like, oh, I got a splinter, which makes me think you're basically Tom Haverford.
I can see that. I don't love it.
But you're learning, you know, maybe you don't love what you say when you look at
I'm a little more, there is a Tom Haverford energy to him. The opportunism and things like that. But he's a cold blood killer,
that's
too.
True.
And he's evil.
Has Tom Haverford ever committed murder?
Right. that's kind of the difference. Jennifer, anyway. Do you think that our air conditioner that is loud is doing anything?
No.
I'm going to go downstairs.
Yeah, I don't think it's helping at all, and it's just being really loud and annoying.
Okay. We'll keep going with this, and Tim will be able to figure out. We'll just say that he did. Mort did not want anything to do with that skeleton. He's like, I'm not carrying that coffin with the skeleton. So you approach what appears to be a large church. It is like everything else in this town, very run down, very ramshackle. You do see some signs of, I guess, distress similar to what was outside of the Burgomeister's mansion. Definitely like it's been attacked before. They're not as fresh as what you saw at the Burgomeister's mansion. And you guys set the coffin down outside the front door, and Ismark starts kind of making his way through into the church. Is anybody going to follow him?
I think I would stay with the body. Duke would stay with the body, because the way they were talking, people are having problems with the family, so someone might try to hurt the corpse.
Yeah, probably a good idea for like the muscle to stay with the coffin. Maybe...
And Duke respects the dead, so... And everything that's dead should stay dead.
I gotcha.
I feel like Amber would kind of fall, maybe not like directly behind, but kind of like wait a beat and then follow.
Okay. What's Connie doing?
She should probably stay outside too.
Okay. And Roxar?
Roxar would stay outside. He has no interest in a church.
Duke would grab Mort to try to keep him out there.
Okay. Well, now... Mort, Ismark and Ember are going into the church where they're going to try and talk, you know, get the body buried. Are you going to, I guess, let Duke detain you inside, or are you outside, or are you going to try to go in with Ember and Ismark?
What's happening?
Ismark's going inside the church.
Uh-huh.
And everyone else is outside with the coffin and the body, but Ember's following Ismark into the church. Would you stay with the body?
Yeah, I'd say with the body.
Okay. So, Ember, you go in, and it's very dark and dreary. There are a lot of candles lit. It's about as bad on the inside as it is outside.
This is the goth's heaven right now.
A little bit. It's a functional church. You do see pews. They're not in the best condition, but they're functional.
Is there stained glass?
Yes, there actually is. You do see some nice stained glass.
It's just normal glass that's like stained with like grime and blood.
Yucky.
And you see a man in the kind of the center of the cathedral, just kind of on his hands and knees, and he's just kind of holding a rosary in his hand.
Okay,
and
you just an actual man. Kind of, okay.
Yeah. And you hear just muttering coming from him. His back is turned to you, and Ismark approaches Father Donovich. Are you okay? And you guys kind of approach him. And he, as you walk forward, he kind of snaps to what he's doing. He stands up. And as he turns to you, you see a very large man, slightly heavy set, very extremely pale. And dark circles under his eyes, hair is thinning. And he's like, yes. Hello, Ismark. What brings you here today? And just something that you would have picked up on, Ember. He looks exhausted. He's tired.
I swear this town has extreme depression energy. Like everyone is just fucking depressed.
There's no sunlight. There's no sunlight.
Sucks. They need that vitamin D.
Ismark replies. Yeah, I assume you've heard what happened, or maybe you haven't from the villagers, but, we're here to bury my father. We're just hoping we could get some help out in the cemetery, have a very brief ceremony, and you can, you know, just help us out, and...
We're helping, Ember says, and smiles.
I've not seen you, in this town before. Are you,
Oh, we're new in town. Yeah, we're an adventuring group. Yes,
I see.
A variety of talents and skills, and right now we're just helping our new friend bury his dad.
And Father Donovich looks at you and he says, "Well, of course, I would be more than happy to. It's truly a shame to hear that Kolyan has passed, but let us go around back and we'll get this started. And you all of you turn to leave. Father Donovich follows you, and you hear very clearly this like a loud thump. You just hear a loud thump, mm-hmm. and you kind of shrug it off at first. And you and Ismark are still walking. Father Donovich is frozen in the center of the room.
What do you mean by frozen?
He's stopped walking and he's got a worried look on his face and he's like, yes, let's.
Okay,
let's
not like magically frozen. Okay.
I know what's happening here. I know what's happening here.
Shut up. Metagame.
Is it the skeleton man scaring him?
I don't know. You guys are outside.
Oh yeah, my skeleton's still outside.
He says, "Yes. Let's go quickly."
I'm going to recuse myself from all choices because this is one of the two things I know of this adventure.
Wow.
Tim, stop.
And as you guys are still walking, he's trying to quickly hurry you outside. You just hear Ember. You hear a very loud
from outside.
What sounds like inside. And then you just hear, very muffled, you just hear, "Father! I'm hungry!" And you hear more thumping and screaming. And again, Father Donovich is frozen and he is not moving a muscle.
And the rest of us are outside, right?
The rest of you guys are outside.
How does
Ember react to this?
well, number one, what is Ismark doing?
Ismark's looking at Father Donovich like, what the hell was that?
I kind of grab his arm like, let's outside. Let's go outside. Guys?
And Father Donovich is like, yes, outside, yes, absolutely, yes, of course, yes.
Outside,
yes.
I'm probably talking to Duke Silver, the way to do it, if you don't have a lot of muscles, is push with your knees.
And Ember walks up and hands on mouth on Mort, I forgot your name for a sec. I keep wanting to call you Denouse now, because that's what
I'm stealing from it, it's fine.
So we got a situation inside, something.
And Father Donovich is trying to no situation, nothing's going on. It's nothing at all.
Ember turns around, hands on hips, and looks at him.
I mean, Kolyan is looking very aged in this process. We should get him buried. Pay respect to his legacy here. Yes, please come. Yes, quick. And he's like trying to almost drag the coffin to get it moving, just like, yes, come on.
I copy Ember's mannerism and put my hands on my shoulders too, and no effect changes on the coffin at this point, man.
And he's still trying. What are you guys doing? He is not slowing down for a second. He's trying to get y'all away.
Sounds like we either need to parlay or discern realities.
I'm like, can I interfere? It's like, apparently I can only interfere with someone I have a bond with. Josh, would you say I have a bond with the father I have not met yet?
No, I would not. Oh, Howard, voice is gone.
No!
Oh, there we go again. I'm sorry. Oh. It was muted, baby. My bad.
I got stressed.
I'm going to use I am the law.
Ooh.
It is, I can tell an NPC basically what to do if I succeed. If I get above a 10, if I get a 7, between 7 and 9, they get to choose one of these three actions.
Okay, go ahead and roll that up.
Let's see, that is that plus 2. I got an 11.
You got an 11, so that is a total success.
So I get a forward against them, and I want him to tell me what he is scared of right now.
Please, I just don't want him to be hurt. Please, just let's bury the body.
Who do you speak of?
It's just my son. Just please, no. And he's starting to sob. He's just, please, just leave us be. We just want, I will help you bury the body. Just, this doesn't concern you.
I think it does. You seem terrified.
I am. I just, please, don't. Just don't. Just please, leave us be.
I promise not to hurt your child as long as he doesn't hurt us.
I can't promise that, and I can't... You can't promise me you won't hurt him.
I want to look to the rest of the group and see if they're interested as well. Because Duke's worried because this man is obviously scared that we're going to either do something or the child's going to do something to us.
Mm-hmm. I would wait to see what everyone else is doing. I would probably slink off to the side a little bit, but I'm still watching to see what everyone else is doing.
What's going on with your son?
Just please, it's no business of yours. Just please, you're not from here. You don't understand. You don't know what he is capable of. You just please, no.
Maybe we can help.
Sir, we're not from here, and yet we're trying to help this man who we just met yesterday after he was already dead get buried. So I think you can see that we have good intentions here. Is there something? Sorry, I don't. I'm still like getting used to the moves. Like, is there something like a persuasion? Like,
there is a parlay.
Okay, can I try to do that?
Yeah.
In the background, I'm gonna wiggle my fingers and then point at Duke, and then point at the dude's like pockets, and then thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs down.
You know, Duke's gonna do a thumbs down. And I was going to say, he just waves his finger.
And then I cross my arms grumpily.
So yeah, parlay is whenever you have a leverage on a character and manipulate them, roll plus your charisma modifier.
Do we all have a leverage because of Duke, or is it just Duke?
I have a...
I would say his situation has created leverage.
Yeah, he's super shady. So, yeah.
So bad news, didn't roll great. Got a 5.
But she got 2 twos, and now, as we all know, rolling the same number.
That's good luck.
Okay, yeah. So mark experience, and okay. I'll go ahead and tell you what happens in that.
Okay.
He gets up, and he actually starts to get up in your face. You will not, this doesn't concern you outsiders, you will not lay a hand on
Ember's
him.
Ember's backing away.
You will not.
Duke, is he coming towards her, coming towards Ember aggressively?
Aggressively, but not like with a weapon in hand, but it's like that typical, like, he's like, you will not, do, like, you know, just like making a lot of gestures to make himself seem big. And
Duke will kind of step, not in between them per se, but like in between them, but to the side at the same time. You know, like they're still staring at each other, but I'm there just in case something happens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Josh.
So you're between them. Oh,
yeah.
What's up, Connie?
I would like to command Bandit to go inside the chapel and scout out what's going on.
Okay. You do that, and Bandit goes in and just starts taking a look around, and that'll take a couple minutes. So, Roxar, what are you doing in this situation? I guess, Mort, same question.
I'm hanging back until I'm kind of paying attention to Duke.
Yeah, I'm kind of paying attention to the rest of the group. I don't have any particular interest in getting this guy buried or this other person's desires.
Good long for the ride.
So as there's a lot of just kind of general arguing back and forth, Duke is trying to be like, calm down to Father Donovich. Ismark's just like, Father, like, you gotta like tell us, we can help you. And, you know, Father Donovich is not having any of it, just shouting. And at this point, Bandit comes back, and now you can talk to Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And boy, what did your raccoon eye see?
So you tell me, since this is
I will tell you that he has keen senses, if that helps.
Well, I was going to say, what does Bandit sound like? Like, does he have like a gruff voice or just kind of like a high pitch?
Bradley Cooper.
He probably sounds the same as the raccoon from Over the Hedge, which means he sounds like Bruce Willis.
I've never seen that film.
Saw that. Okay, how about something like
Over the Hedge reference here? You know that's worth a friggin' hashtag giveaway
like,
or some travel project money.
Good Omens.
I haven't watched that yet. I got.
Omens reference and an Over the Hedge reference to one? Mamma Mia, you know that's worth some Trevor Project.
Mamma Mia, here we go again.
I'm bad.
It sounds like Pierce Brosnan.
Well, I went and looked around and I didn't see any of the screaming anywhere. There's no one else inside the church. I did see a weird trap door though, what looks like to go to a basement.
So he sounds like who's that singer that just hey, who I'm singing like this?
Bob Dylan?
Thank you, Bob Dylan. So it sounds like Bob Dylan.
Oh my god. Please make him sound like Bob Dylan.
So what do you say? Wait, what do you say?
I didn't see anybody else in the church, but I saw a trap door that goes down that I can't get with these little raccoon hands.
And he gives a little grippy hand things. Oh, he's so cute. I love him. thanks, Bandit. And she gives him a little snack.
Oh, that's right. I'm stupid. We were trying to figure out how we charmed Ismark, and I just remembered I poisoned him.
Oh, that's right. You did use that.
So, because I was like, in the background, Moore is like pulling out all of his tools and then pointing at the priest or whatever. And so he's like, Dak, you want me to stab him? You want me to lockpick? You want me to poison?
So, Connie, you now know that there is a trapdoor. No one else is in the church. And I guess, what are you doing with that information?
I'm going to say, Father, I understand you love your son, but why would you keep him in the basement? And I will try to parlay.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I rolled an 11.
11? He's dangerous, and this town, these people here don't understand. They wouldn't understand. You see what happens when you've crossed Strahd, and he's pointing at the body. He's like, this is what happens.
What did you do to Strahd?
And he's just like pointing at, like kind of gesturing at this church. It's like, I exist. I am here. I dare to just try and put hope in people's lives.
Who do you worship that Strahd doesn't
like? Yeah, which god do you worship?
Because really the only thing you should worship is nature.
Or yourself.
The correct answer is Torm.
That's what I do.
Or Torm. Or Torm.
I believe it's the Night Mother in this region. Yeah. So we worship the Night Mother here. That's not important. I just don't want him to get hurt. I just, please. And
everyone here is very afraid of Strahd. Should we be afraid of Strahd? Should we be doing this?
I mean, probably not.
Well, we know we can't leave, so maybe we should, I don't know. Maybe if we...
We bury this man and then we have a powwow. That's probably problematic, right?
Probably not. Yeah. I'm guessing.
Let's have a team meeting. Let's have a huddle.
We'll have a knee.
Everybody take a knee.
Take a knee.
Everybody take a knee, exactly.
Let's get this guy buried. We can take a knee. We can figure out if we want to deal with what we did not hear, Bandit. So whatever is in here, we can deal with that later.
Now I will stop you there. You didn't hear Bandit. Connie did say, okay. Why are you keeping your son locked in the basement?
Okay, so okay. We know that. All right.
So I don't know if that catches anybody.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I wouldn't question it.
Well, okay. So also,
can I hear that dog?
Yeah. I can hear the dog.
I'm gonna go punch her. No.
Give her a kiss. Just that.
She's mad because somebody's blocking the doorway, probably. But I'll be right back.
We were chilling before in a, like a, not a bar, what was I looking for? An inn or something, like a pub situation. That's where we met, what's his face? Aaron. Right?
No, Ismark? You weren't there, but that's where we met as
well. Well, sorry. There is like a pub in town.
Yes, that's where we did, not you.
Okay. So we could do the classic, let's go talk to random people and find out more information since this dude is like freaking out right
now.
Yeah,
we didn't tell Jennifer.
What we did find out about being in the tavern is that Strahd has ears all over the place.
Yeah. And so
we had to be like.
You had to be like subtle. Yeah. Discreet.
And this is something that you don't know is that the Vistani met with us.
Okay.
I don't think even in story we told you what they told us yet. But the thing is that Irina knows a lot of information, but she does not know the leader of the Vistani, or what we assume is the leader of the Vistani.
Okay.
And the Vistani are kind of like Roma people. And there were in this town, Josh, do you remember what, when I asked if, I think I asked, if Irina knew the Vistani, but I think a lot was happening at the same time. I don't know if I got,
I think she said no.
You mentioned, you talked to Madame Ava and she had no idea who that was.
Okay. Yeah.
And
so
But
there were Vistani in the bar, right?
Yes, and she did know the Vistani, because when you described her, she said,
okay, gotcha.
I mean, it sounds like you're describing someone from the Vistani, but...
Yeah,
she just didn't know Madame Ava.
That's fine. I don't think she needs to know Madame Ava to make that weird.
I'm just trying to get the general lay of the land, if it's worth pressing this guy right now, or if it's like, okay...
So, in the bar, there's like three basic people. Bartender, Ismark, and a group of Vistani. The group of Vistani were like mean mugging us, and this is after they disappeared.
Okay.
After giving us tea and cookies, and then we had to like walk a couple hours or whatever, an hour.
And the Vistani are like outside of town.
We don't know where they are. They left.
The group that you were with were outside of town, but there were a couple in this bar that they weren't part of the group that you were brought to.
Yeah.
Let's say that.
Not connected. Okay.
So all that to say is we don't know. Right now, the town has been extremely unchill.
Yeah.
Towards our carousing
yes.
based stuff. Yes. But, you know, I mean, we've only been into two places.
Right. But maybe not the most ideal situation to be like, let's talk to people
exactly,
up at a tavern.
In a typical, like, D&D thing, the tavern is assumed
to be
full.
That's, like, what you do. You know? Right. But this town is fucked up. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah, it was bartender who said, like, nothing to us. Vistani that were, like, glaring at us. And Ismark, who told us everything. But, like, who knows if it's true, right?
I'm so into this vibe. I love it.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that...
There's literally an episode of Stardust Crusaders that is, like, this.
No, like, I was thinking today before we started, because Waterdeep Dragon Heist has, like, some ghost stuff. And I was like, all right, I need to pay attention to what Josh does so I can steal from it. And then, like... The moment he mentioned, like, a ghost, I was like, is Tim Lanning, like, kind of spooked out while we're playing? It's, like, a million degrees outside. It's bright as hell. It's Saturday at, like, you know, 4:30. Am I, like, on edge at this?
I love it.
Yeah.
That's, okay, that makes me very happy to hear, because that's, like, the entire feeling you're supposed to have.
Yeah, just that, like, unsettling, like, things are off. Like, something is wrong here.
And I feel like I'm extremely weak to it, so...
So get back into the action then. I guess the question to ask to you is, are you doing anything about this right now?
I think we said I don't know if we got consensus that we were going to do the burial first, then kind of deal with the other situation.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, even if we just talk to each other off the side.
I think that we need to do the burial to like make sure that Irina and Ismark are like on our side. Like, we helped you with a thing. Like, we need allies.
Even like in world and metagaming, what if like... something, what if we make Strahd mad? We want to get the body buried. Like, let's check that quest off to kind of bring up a joke.
Now, I guess the one last thing I want to just clarify as far as group knowledge goes, Ember, would you tell them what you heard? Like, as you were, like, did you tell them, like, you heard screaming?
Because we're kind of, like, arguing something going on.
I think that I would. I feel like I would kind of sidle over to Connie. Connie's very responsible. I think Connie and Duke Silver are very responsible.
They're
but Duke Silver is currently, like, kind of keeping things safe. So I'd be like, hey, I heard some messed up stuff in there. Stuff is some screaming. Just FYI, to add to the whole basement thing.
Is his son in pain?
Heard a screaming, and he screamed, I'm hungry. So
That's some vampire shit. That's definitely some vampire / zombie shit going on right there.
Oh, I was thinking like a Frankenstein situation.
Or that. Some sort of spooky monster.
The monster named Frankenstein.
Yeah, his son's name's Frankenstein.
His name's like Frankenstein.
After the monster named Frankenstein.
The doctor's name's Carl. We all know that.
So you guys are going to pass on that for now, but you're going to proceed with burying the body. You're just going to drop it with...
Yeah, the stack is bury body, chit-chat, and then
deal with situation.
Yeah.
Deal with situation.
Our overall situation.
Deal with basement son.
Yeah.
Okay. Basement son.
Not passing on basement situation. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand where
just putting a pin in it.
Father Donovich, as you guys just drop it, thank you. Just yes, please, just right this way, and he helps carry the load that I assume Mortimer is not carrying because the skeleton's still there. There's just been a skeleton just kind of hanging out the whole time.
I kind of thought other people would react to that, but you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's been a weird day. That's no judgment from Tim Lanning. That's kind of more what Mort's feeling.
And he leads you down a pathway and into the back, and you do see a large cemetery. And he leads you kind of off to the side where there's not many other tombstones or plots or anything. And as you drop the coffin off, he runs over to a shed in the back and brings out a couple shovels, and y'all set out to digging. And there's no need to roll or anything like that. You guys take a couple hours and you dig a 6-foot deep hole to lower the body into.
I made my skeleton dig. Skeleton's still there.
I don't want to stand next to the skeleton.
It's spooky and I don't like it.
Once the hole is dug and we've placed the body in, are we at the part where we're putting the body down in the hole?
Yeah, well,
you're putting the coffin down, door up.
The door coffin.
Yeah. Duke's going to grab the skeleton if he can grab it.
Wait, my skeleton?
Set it down in the hole. He's going to be like, this is where it belongs.
No, this is a dirt creature.
He's not wrong.
I just banned the skeleton. I go...
To well. Quote a movie I've never seen, it's not wrong, but you're an asshole.
I mean, it's only natural to put a skeleton in a hole.
Yeah, I've been doing this one.
That's the skeleton's probably kicking and screaming.
And, you know, it's efficient skeleton. To use one plot for two bodies.
Yeah, save space.
This is not a real skeleton. I do magic. Oh my God.
Ember, I am so sorry. I thought you were a necromancer for a second.
No.
I was worried as well.
I mean, that's...
In our defense, I
think necromancy's pretty cool.
Our defense, all we saw you do was shoot some bolts and then run away from wolves, and then you showed up and you summoned a ghost and then you summoned a skeleton.
Okay, I see where you're coming from here.
And we've had a weird day. And we got warned about
cool vibes from everybody. Do you not feel like this crowd?
We literally heard she pulled a card in Connie, correct me if I'm wrong. Madame Ava pulled a card called the Necromancer.
Well, I'm a
witch. She also pulled one that said the innocent on it, and I think
that's Irina, innocent right?
Is Irina.
Draped in crimson?
I think
crimson?
That the other one that I forgot the name
the
of,
master.
But it's going to come to me in a second, the master is Strahd.
That's me.
You're the master?
Yeah.
Jokes on all of y'all. Jennifer and I did have a session. She's the big bad.
I'm Strahd.
I grab Ember and I put her in the grave as well.
Now, we do need to get back into this to part the kimono slightly. What my plans were, Jennifer, I was going to set you against the group. While they all went to go talk to Madame Ava and got their fortune, you were going to meet Strahd and you were going to become buddies, not buddies, but basically he was going to give you a mission of his own that, based on his information, sounded reasonable. And it was
gonna,
I was really curious how that was going to go, but I'll save that in my back pocket for another
Sounds
time.
Like pretty good, probably, considering the group dynamics.
Let's, forgot we hear that. Just, that being said, let's just question everything Ember does from going forward.
So Duke now pulls Ember and the skeleton back out of the grave.
Ember brushes
and off back in there.
Their clothes, their designer, Ember's wearing extremely fly clothes, just to remind everyone.
Oh yes, awesome. Love it.
Sorry, Ismark, did your father have anything valuable in his pockets?
I mean, no, we put him in his nicest suit, but we would have cleared
okay.
that all out.
I wouldn't want you to go bankrupt or anything by your dad burying burying your dad with his fortune in his pants.
I appreciate the concern. I do.
Should say a few words while we cover this whole thing up.
As Father Donovich, with the shovels, he also brought some ropes that you loop underneath the coffin and lower it down. And Father Donovich stands to the side after the coffin's there and lets Ismark say a few words. And I appreciate each of you coming out to help. I know you didn't know my father, but it does mean a lot that there's still some good people in this world willing to do the right thing. My father wasn't a perfect man. He did what he could for this small town. I mean, to mixed levels of success, as you can see, and he kind of gestures back towards the town. But he did what he could, all things considered, and I have to give him some credit for that. And he did his best to take care of me and my sister, and I love him, and I'm gonna miss him. I hate that it came to this. I really do, but what's done is done, I guess, and I guess all we can do is move forward.
Duke is sobbing.
I kind of feel bad now that we didn't invite your sister to this.
I mean, it's probably a little bit dangerous for her to be outside of the house right now. But as you all are standing around and kind of chit-chatting then, from behind you, you just hear a very kind of muffled just...
We did it, guys. We won.
And as you turn around, you see a very tall figure with straight, dark black hair.
It could be anyone. Pale. Reserve judgment.
He has red eyes.
Oh, okay. It could definitely be anybody.
Not great.
Not like glowing red eyes, but like the irises of his eyes are red.
Yeah.
He's dressed extremely like dapper. Like he is wearing like a perfectly fitted shirt and vest and like nice pants, nice shoes, a very fashionable cloak around his shoulders.
It could be anyone.
And he's just kind of sitting there and he says, "Oh, honestly, Ismark, you have such a way with words, and God, really, you are an artist with how you speak. That was absolutely beautiful. Your father would have been so proud of you, and I'm sure he still is. He was such a wonderful man."
Connie will lean over to whoever's closest and say, "I didn't think he was that good."
Do we get like a Dragon Ball Z ass like aura from this dude, or
it's the JoJo the thing, yeah?
I mean, I would, if you want
menacing.
I would ask him, "Do you know this man, or the man in the grave?"
Yes, the Burgomeister and I were, we go way back. He was a wonderful man. It's truly a shame that it happened like this. I hope to one day call him father and all. It's truly sad.
So our characters don't know this is Strahd, right?
Yeah, you don't know this is Strahd.
But it is Strahd.
Who knows?
Who's to say?
It's
my brother, Brock. He's in the ground now.
Now, to answer your question, Tim, if you want to try and get a read on him, you could discern realities.
I would love to discern realities.
He's between realities. You can't tell.
I like to think that I have a pretty good, quote-unquote, danger sense, so I would hear people walking up.
Yeah.
I'm bad at rolling. What do I add to danger sense?
It's 2d6 plus your wisdom modifier.
Ooh, that's not gonna be good. So I rolled a 5, and I do not believe it. My wisdom is bad. I think I had a 4.
Ooh, that's not great.
That's not good.
Okay. So mark experience. And Strahd kind of shrugs off what Duke was saying to him, and he actually, I guess, give me an idea of how you all are arranged around this grave. Like, who's kind of more towards the back and whatnot? I would imagine Mortimer probably is toward the back, kind of trying to make sure the death stink don't get on him.
Yeah, I'm afraid of the skeleton.
I feel like Ember's right up on it.
But we've had time since the guy was here, right?
Say what?
It's been a little bit since the guy was here.
Seconds. He's just now like said it, and he's approaching the group now.
I think Connie would walk up to next Mort. To Ismark.
Okay.
Duke would be walking towards Mort.
Okay.
Rockstar would be hanging out near Mort.
Okay. And the figure goes ahead and walks forward, and he kind of gives like a very overly posh and elegant bow to you, Mort, since you're kind of off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "I don't believe we have had the pleasure of meeting. Are you new in this land?"
And even though that like not makes him player knowledge character, this dude stands out, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Because he is the most put together person you have seen.
Yeah, what's that movie?
He's the only
with...
person we've seen outside that we didn't bring with us.
Yeah, what's that movie? Is it Jake Gyllenhaal or Tobey Maguire? It's like Pleasantville or something like that, where they it's like in the 50s, they don't have color.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they start getting color when they have sins. So yeah, it's like we're in a black and white world, and then all of a sudden this like multicolored motherfucker just shows up. I would probably like say something along the lines, "Well, I don't think we've met before. Pleasure meeting you." And then I would do pretty much the exact same practice bow that I did with Irene, except for I'm not going to kiss this person's
coward. Kiss Rod's hand.
Kiss their hand.
And as he's looking at you, he's like, "Charmed, truly. It is so nice to meet you." And as you make eye contact with him, you feel like you catch like the faintest like shimmer in his eyes.
Yeah. So I feel like this is one of those things that, you know, D&D does too, as well as apparently Dungeon World. But like, I'm a criminal that exists on the CD. I have a really low wisdom, which means I, you know, probably have a low perception. But I think, like, narratively, I probably know menace, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
I would say that all of you have an uneasy feeling.
Yeah.
You did not hear this person approach, and he was not leaning against that grave when you started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ceremony. And we've been like doing stuff for like quite some time.
So obviously some mystical shit is going down.
Yeah. So I rolled like shit, so I'm not like running away. I'm just being cautious. Well, thank you, sir, for... I didn't catch your name. I'm sorry. I am new here, after all.
Oh, well, my name is Strad von Zarovich. you have entered into, you know, my lands. It is so wonderful to have you here, truly.
And Mort literally does just go...
And he, after he's done talking to you, he stands up straight and walks over to... Ismark, he's like, "Ismark, truly, I felt I should come and pay respects. This is truly a tragedy that this has happened, and I am so sorry." And he puts his hand on Ismark's shoulder. "Truly, if there's anything I can ever do for you, just please don't hesitate to let me know." And Ismark just like rebuffs his hand. He's like, "Haven't you done enough? Why are you even here? You just here to rub salt in the wound? This is your fault he's dead."
Oh, friends, let's not fight. Josh, I have a flask. I'm going to, I don't think I can conjure cups, but like, I want to poison a shot. Here's one. My entire thing is I want to poison a shot with my, golden root. A classic thing one does, try to poison Strahd, so that he will be amenable to me. Golden Root, the target treats the next creature they see as trusted ally. So yeah, you know, I want to try to poison Strahd with Golden Root. By doing like a shot in honor of I keep wanting to call him Cuthbert, Kolyan.
Yep. So you try to poison that. And how are you doing this? Like, are you just like, doing it furtively?
I'm not sure, because
I think that might be a defy danger roll.
Yeah.
You're trying to do this sneakily. And since you're trying to do it by acting fast, so I think that'd be defy danger plus your dexterity modifier.
Okay, cool.
Would there be assistance, like, if Duke was to distract him?
Yes. So what you can do, Duke Silver, you can do a, what is called a bond roll.
Oh my god, shut up!
And I think a bond roll is, you roll just a flat 2d6. No, it's aiding. So you roll a flat 2d6. Mm-hmm. And on a 10+, since you have a bond with Mortimer, on a 10+, they take +1 to their roll. On a 7-9, you expose yourself to danger, retribution, or cost.
Okay.
So if you're trying to distract him, you will go ahead and do your roll.
And I will wait for Howard to roll before I tell you what I rolled.
Okay.
I got 12.
I got 12. So,
what did you get, Tim?
A 12.
You got a 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Woo!
So you...
I would walk up to Strahd and I would be like, "Strahd, I've heard the name before. My name is Duke Silver." And I would go to shake his hand.
Silver, charmed. And he kind of gives you like one of the dainty, posh handshakes where he doesn't fully grip your hand, but like very much so like...
What? Yeah, Duke wouldn't even close his hand. He would just keep it straight out, you know, like it's awkward. And he just... move it up and down.
The equivalent of when someone goes do a fist pound and you do a handshake.
It's that kind of awkward. And I'm just like, Mm-hmm.
And so you are able, Mortimer, you feel like you've been very sneaky with this. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, oh, sleight of hand, just like, whoop, got it right in there.
Yeah.
And you approach Strahd, what are you saying to try to get him to
so I would probably, with a flourish, take a swig myself, and then, as I'm quaffing down my swig, I'll poison it, and I don't know what your customs are, but where I come from, we typically drink to the dead. oh gosh, that burns. I hope you have good, better whiskey than I do, but Strahd, it is your land, so I drink first to as customary, and I would be honored if you would drink to Kolion's honor.
Okay. You hand it to him. Strahd takes it. Oh, you. I like you. You aren't from here, and you are just so polite. And he takes it and he downs the shot in one. And as he's sitting there pondering and thinking,
God, we did it, guys.
Tasting. I damn Strahd's dead.
Did it.
he's tasting it and he says, "Oh, I like you. You're bold. I think I can treat you as a trusted ally." And then all of a sudden, like, you realize, you think back to when you first met him and you're trying to get a read on him.
Mm-hmm.
You saw his eyes flash,
mm-hmm.
and he looks at you and says, "So, since we're such good friends now and allies, why don't you take one of those daggers and stick it in his neck?" And he's pointing at Roxar. And at this very moment...
Josh, I don't want to do that.
That sounds like a really good idea.
You know what?
You're thinking, yeah, you know what?
You know what?
I like this guy. I barely know Roxar. I could do it. So right now, what has happened is, like, something happened when he looked at you. So here's the what from failing your role, here's the hard move and difficult choice I'm going to make for you.
Uh-huh.
If you choose to do this legitimate thing that you just thought of, as far as you're concerned, it's like,
yeah,
of course, why wouldn't I do this? If you do this legitimate thing that we thought of, you get to mark one experience point, and then we'll see what happens. Or you can choose to fight against this and make a defy danger roll.
Man, I'm sorry, bro. I only need one more XP for to level up, so I'm gonna do it.
No, I love this. This is interesting. So, everybody, you see Mortimer. He pulls out one of his daggers and he starts walking towards Roxar. What are you doing?
So, just so you know, I have two bonds here. One is, Mortimer has no respect for nature, so I have no respect for him. The other is Roxar is a poor animal that needs help.
Duke is...
you don't know that yet.
So I would like to get between Mortimer and Roxar and try to clock Mortimer with punch.
Don't.
Okay.
And don't use punch.
Duke's going to try to grab after him because Mort is misguided. He sees him with a dagger going after Roxar.
Is that just attack, right?
Hack
and slash.
I think it would be a hack and slash to try to clock him. So let's go ahead and roll that up and just kind of see what that's telling us that's going on.
Technically I rolled a 12, but I have a minus one to my strength, so I got an 11.
It's still a total success.
Wow.
So you can roll an attack against Connie. I mean, not Connie. You are Connie. Against Mortimer. So
great. I just roll damage.
Yeah.
That would be a two punch.
So, Mortimer, tell us, you're kind of determining what Mortimer's
doing. The police are coming for Mortimer right now.
Does that make you snap out of it a bit, or are you still going on to Roxar with that dagger? You tell us, what is this scene happening?
Sorry, what does he do to me?
Did we also hear Strahd say to Mortimer that it would be a good idea if he did the stabby?
You absolutely did.
Okay, that's okay.
Shit. So
I just realized that would not have done that.
He's doing
some
juju on him.
Yeah, Duke's already like ready to do something. He just doesn't know what yet.
Yeah.
He was going to grab Mort, but
I'm going to go in for a penny, in for a pound. I'm like, Connie, what are you doing? I got to stab Roxar. Get out of my way.
You absolutely do not have to stab this poor innocent creature.
At this point, Duke's going to put his hand on Mort's shoulder.
Guys, stop. I need to stab Roxar.
Roxar would stare at Mortimer and just,
oh my god, what is like, so what is everybody so crazy?
Everyone, Jesus, chill.
In the most seductive way possible, Roxar would ask Mortimer, "What fuels the flames of your desires?"
I forgot that Roxar was horny.
Because he would want to know if Mortimer wants to, like, kill him because Mortimer wants to kill him, or if this is Strahd.
Now, I will
Want to know for sure.
In your mind right now, Mortimer, like, you believe that this is a thing that you thought was a good idea to do.
Yeah, I this is what needs to be done, you know?
it also says, they'll answer with the truth even if the character does not know.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
Scratch that then. So yeah, you would, I guess if you don't know at this point, the truth would be, he told me to.
Oh, okay.
Like you have to because he told you to.
Yeah, I've been compelled because it is a Strahd. Yeah, I would say as much.
To set the scene a bit more, while you guys are like arguing over Mortimer trying to hold him back and keep him, and I imagine Mortimer's just kind of flailing like,
yeah, I'm trying to liquidly squirt myself out of Duke's arms and Connie's provocations.
You can overhear Strahd. He's having a conversation with Ismark, and like he just kind of very primly just kind of walks over towards Ismark and Donovich, and just says, "Oh, Ismark, really? This is the rabble you're bringing in. I liked him at first, but then he tries that move. Really, you need to have better friends. What would your father think?" And Ismark, like, you can kind of glance over as you hear this. He's like shaking with anger. And Father Donovich is just quiet and looks terrified as well. And you overhear Strahd kind of just turn over to Donovich and say, "Oh, how is Doru doing? It's been so long since I've seen him. I trust he got home okay. Yes? Oh, that's good to hear." And Donovich is just like, he's trembling, but not like Ismark is with anger, just pure fear. Like, he's terrified, not saying a word. And yeah, I guess let's turn the scene back over to you guys. How are you trying to stop Mortimer? What's everybody doing?
I'm going to pin him to the ground.
Okay.
And then put my knee on his chest.
Yeah, I think that Ember's going to let Duke Silver deal with this. I'm like,
so would I roll a hack and slash or
edging away a little bit further away from everyone?
Awkward.
Now, I guess, is anybody turning their attention to Strahd at all, other than like overhearing his conversation with Ismark and Donovich?
No.
Okay, just wanted to check on that to see where everybody's at with that.
Well, could Ember do discern realities on Strahd?
Yeah, you could try. I guess specifically, what are you trying to study him? Because part of that criteria is you're closely studying a person. So I guess just go ahead and roll, and then we'll see.
What okay. Comes yeah. Well, let's we'll, yeah. We'll see how good or bad I do first before yeah, we get yeah, into yeah. this. Oh, that. I don't think this is gonna be good.
Plus your wisdom modifier.
Oof, that's a 6.
That's a 6.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and mark experience.
Up to 5 now.
And as you're kind of like standing off to the side, you didn't even notice this happen. You're like studying Strahd and you're looking back at the scuffle and it's like, you look at Strahd and Donovich and Ismark, you look at the scuffle, you look back, you look at the scuffle. And then when you look back at them, Strahd is just kind of leaned over and looking you right in the face. He says, "How are you doing? I don't believe we've met."
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. And Ember tries to back away a little bit more.
Strahd looks at you again, and you also see a brief shimmer in his eyes, and he looks at you and says, "You know, it seems like your friend on the ground over there is having a real tough time. Don't you think you should go help him out?" And as he looks at you, you're in this moment, you're kind of thinking, yeah, you know what? Mortimer needs help. So if you do this thing
help me,
you legitimately please. Just thought of, you can mark one experience point, and if you really want to try and fight that, you can try and defy danger.
Well, I think that I'm going to probably try to help Mortimer.
I mean, how much damage can I actually do to Rexxar? Like, one stab, whatever. One XP is worth a lot.
I'm sure one
Rexxar
stab is
only
fine.
Has like 14 health.
That is correct.
I guess, how do you help Mortimer in this instance?
So what I'm thinking of doing is I think that I want to cast light on, like, a rock on the ground or something and, like, throw it over at Duke Silver as he's, like, I'm trying to, like, blind him so he's, like, ah, like, what's happening? So I guess I could also do prestidigitation. Like, could I do that to, like, cause, like, a bright, like, explosion of light right in front of Duke Silver's face?
Absolutely, yeah. Go ahead and roll cast a spell.
Okay.
Rockstar, I guess, what do you do? Like, while she rolls that up, what are you doing? You've seen your traveling companion, and he's like, I want to stab you.
Let me stab.
Rockstar would definitely summon his burning brand at this point. His whippy boy.
Ooh, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Sorry, for casting a spell, I roll 2d6, then plus my intelligence?
Yes.
Okay, so that is an 8.
Okay. So that is a partial success, so pick between whether you forget the spell till next time you prepare, or if you want it to be unstable in some way.
I'm picking unstable in this situation. I'm picking unstable.
Okay. Yeah, so we're going to go ahead and do that. It is unstable, and it is much brighter than
you
did. Oh god!
You happen to stare right into it, and it fucking blinds you for a second. Like it's like you stared into the sun.
Yeah.
For a
Oops.
I guess that I should have. Perhaps.
What's in the name of the true deity is going on?
And just to move this along, Connie, are you doing anything?
I think Connie's still fixated between. Keeping Mort away from Rockstar.
Okay.
Rockstar, the Rockstar.
And Rockstar, are you moving in with your burning brand, or are you just holding it to defend yourself?
I would just be holding back to defend myself and hoping this thrall or whatever it is.
Extreme lion tamer mode. Like, don't get
right.
close to me.
Extreme lion tamer mode.
Okay. So in this instance, it is just chaos between all of you. Ismark and Donovich are a combination of too angry and too terrified to come assist. And Strahd just kind of wheels on his heels and says, well, I believe that's enough dealing with the rabble for one day. Truly, Ismark, you must find better friends. And each of you, I mean, truly, we've only met and you've been so rude. But I must get going. I have many matters to take care of today. But yes, enjoy the rest of your day. It was wonderful meeting all of you. And then he just kind of like disappears into the into a mist. And as soon as he is gone, Ember and Mortimer, you no longer feel that need to kill Rockstar.
Duke. Dude, this is a funeral. Get off me.
You were attacking Rockstar.
Okay, I can't see!
let's crowdsource these. This right here. What do you think it would be is more interesting for both Ember and Mortimer that you knowingly, like, oh my god.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good thing to
yes.
do?
I think, as opposed to, like, acting coy about it, I think it would be, I think Mortimer would probably throw up.
Oh, that's fair.
How many times has Mortimer thrown up?
What, today?
Or
just once?
Or cried?
Thrown up twice, today cried once. Twice.
Okay.
It's just bile at this point.
Yeah, he just can't keep his fluids on the inside.
I spit up a little bit, and then I throw down my dagger, and I look at Rexxar, I'm like, I am so sorry. I had no choice. I didn't even roll for it. It just happened.
You should be sorry.
Oh, no. Here's the thing, though, Tim. You did roll for it, and you failed.
Oh, no.
Duke's going to pick up the dagger.
Anytime you guys, like, so you understand, anytime you fail a roll, that's when I get
to roll. Oh, yeah, yeah. Frick.
Duke's going to pick up his dagger while he still hasn't pinned to the ground, because he doesn't truly believe, I mean, Mort.
Fair enough.
He's a shifty guy.
Duke, please, get off. He's gone. I'm not under his sway anymore. Please.
Give me all your daggers.
All my daggers.
All of them.
All right. It's a very hilarious.
Start taking them all. Everywhere.
Like five
laying on the
ones,
ground.
You know.
pulls one out from his hair somehow. Yeah, like, what?
It's more of a pin.
You will get these when I can trust
out,
you again.
He pulls out his underwear dagger.
Yeah. Wow. It's seven daggers. That's some of them are like long, like knitting needle type things, but.
Okay. And you turn over all your daggers, and I imagine at that point, this point, you continue with the funeral, and you're all burying the body.
Yeah.
And what I imagine is just silence.
I bury the underwear
dagger.
It's
really awkward. No!
I didn't want to touch it in the first
you
place.
You hear screams coming from...
Okay, oh. I think that's as good a spot as any to
definitely.
End this
I agree.
One. y'all have now met the titular Strahd from the Curse of Strahd.
He's so
and
scary.
I'm very curious to see how this what happens next.
You know, death I had a feeling I wasn't going to like him.
Yeah,
I know.
I think Ember is feeling uncomfortable because Ember thinks that Strahd is hot.
Who doesn't like a little bit?
I'm excited I mean, that I'm
danger,
at
you
I'm
know?
At 8 experience points and I'm gonna be so strong. You guys can't stop me.
That actually, I'll talk about it after we end this episode. Right. But yeah, I thank you so much for listening. I'm very curious to see what you guys do next with this information. Also, in response to what Jennifer was saying, who among us has not fallen for an extremely hot person who brought out the worst of us?
Listen, we've all done it, okay?
I married it. Just kidding. Oh, wow. You bring out the best of me.
You just called me extremely hot.
If you would like to get in touch with all of us, you can find us on Twitter at GeeklyInc or D&D Podcast. Please go to the geeklyinc.com/Trevor to donate to the Trevor Project. It might still be open. With
who knows? If not, just go to the Trevor Project's website.
We've raised lots of money today and lots of money throughout the past 2 months. And
we'll keep doing it.
And we'll keep doing it.
Tomato, tomato.
So
you know, same here, same there.
Yeah. Who's to say how much we raised today versus what we raised before?
Yeah,
but also, again, you know, people's monies are stretched thin because we live in hell.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a thousand good things to donate to every single day. So please don't feel like you have to donate to us. Please don't feel like you have to donate to the Patreon. But please try to help someone who is in need.
Or throw a retweet to or other people you care about.
Yeah, if you're in one of the towns where ICE is locking people up, bring a comically large camcorder to record it. You know, do what you can. Make the world a better place.
Okay. I agree. We live in hell, and this can make it just a little bit better with what we can do. Anyway, if you'd like to get in touch with the rest of us, you can find me. Tim, you got to take it.
Yes. Thank you so much. Ouch. You can find me on Twitter for all the other things we do and tweet about at Tim Lanning.
You can find me on Twitter at Jennifer Cheek.
You can find me at Matthew M. Morris.
I'm at Punk1290.
I'm at JW Scalf.
And I'm at the Subpar Hojo.
Wow, y'all, that was a great episode. But you know what else is great? All of the other shows
that's
on the
so
Geekly
true.
Inc. Network. Like, Dear Internet.
Yeah!
And Brute Force, that's on there.
Yeah.
And Sayer. You know what? You know, you went to Geekly Inc. You saw all the podcasts and you're like, God, these are so great. You go over to the store, you buy some swag, you go on to iTunes and you go to every one of those shows. You even go to an Apple store, you log into iTunes there, you give every one of those shows a 5-star rating and review, not just 5-star rating. You got to give it a review too, because then I might read it on this show. And new episodes come out twice a month-ish, and
that
was
random.